independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
So the feds raised rates yesterday. I don't know if you guys are aware of what they did. They sent rates up and away.
The economy and the country have been through a lot over the past 2.5 years and have proved resilient. It is essential that we bring inflation down if we are to have a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all. From the standpoint of our congressional mandate to promote maximum employment and price stability, the current picture is plain to see. The labor market is extremely tight and inflation is much too high. Against this backdrop, today the Federal Open Market Committee raised its policy interest rate by 0.75 percentage point. And anticipates that ongoing increases in that rate will be appropriate.
Oh, my goodness me. I know it's you want your guy to sound super serious. Wouldn't it be great, though, if he's like, oh, my God, right on the couch, you, whoa, sweet mother of God, we're raising rates. People are like, oh, what happened? Oh, we're going to raise rates. Oh, that's what I thought. But, man, he was freaking out. Yeah, raising rates. 30 years, 28 years, almost three decades. Where we saw a rate hike that big. How ugly is it going to get? I'm going to tell you guys this now. I've been predicting we're going to a recession, and everybody's like, dude, you're an idiot. And then I keep saying, we're heading to the place that we're going to... Economists are like, well, I'm looking at all the stuff and the historicals. I'm looking at the historicals, Chad, and I don't see that happening. And I'm thinking, yes, but I'm looking at the thing that matters more than those. History's in the rearview mirror. It may give us a glimpse of what may come, but things change, especially in today's world. And we get more information than ever before so fast. But the one thing that doesn't change is human beings. Are you confident? Do you believe things are good? Because if you believe things are good, well, you're more apt to spend money. How many of you listening right now, the two of you, mom, no. Kid, my mother's never heard my show. How many of you in the last, say, 30 to 60 days have went to make a purchase or have been on the fence? You really want to get something and you're saying, you know what? Not right now. I bet a lot of you listening are that way. This is Harry Enten. He used to write for 538, now works at CNN.
Put this inflation in context. How bad is the surge in prices?
It's awful. I mean, it's awful, and how people feel about it is even worse. You know, you look at the consumer sentiment right now, and what do you see? This is the worst consumer sentiment ever measured by the University of Michigan, going all the way back since 1952. The second worst, 1980. The third worst, 1980. I don't have to remind you, inflation got Jimmy Carter. It killed that presidency.
I'm telling you guys this now. If you feel good about something, you're going to do it. You're going to spend money. You're not going to be afraid. You're going to get out there. If you do not feel confident about something, if you do not believe in what's coming, you're more apt to dig in. You're a squirrel right now gathering what you can. You're going to start hibernating your money. And that, to me, is the biggest indicator. You can look at charts and you can look at historicals. I've been looking at historicals, Chad. I thought it to be, you're completely idiotic. Human beings. That's what you need to know. Human beings. If you can communicate, if you can understand, you'll go a long way in life. You will. For all of the other stuff, you will. And if you can read people. And when people say, with their pocketbook, I'm not making that purchase. If you guys want lawn furniture, starting next month, you're going to get lawn furniture for almost pennies on the dollar from every major retailer. Electronics, absolutely. Loungewear, 100%. Things that we would have purchased 6 months, a year ago, that is now arriving because it was ordered 2 years ago and it's finally getting here, or 8 months ago, whatever, you know, because of the supply chains. Those things are going to be out there. So you can get cheap stuff. And why are they discounting it so much? Because they know those needs aren't what people are going to be spending on. They're worried. People are worried. Thing I get asked every day, how long do you think this is going to last? That great resignation. Remember how we heard about it? Oh, my God. Yeah, we ain't hearing about it anymore. Why? Because now it's the great, oh, my God, I hope my job's still around.
And in terms of why are consumers feeling this bad? Well, it's pretty clear why they're feeling this bad. And that is because the consumer price index is the worst it's ever been in a midterm cycle since 74. It's the worst it's been in any presidential cycle or midterm cycle since 1980. So it's not much of a surprise. You can see it. It's literally off the charts on the table on your screen.
And how does President Biden's performance rate?
Awful.
I knew that was the answer.
The answer is awful. I mean, you know, I'll compare it to Carter at this point in his presidency, right?
That's CNN. Now, we've talked about, I watch CNN once the war started, because I know one thing CNN does is CNN is really good with stuff like that. They've changed their tune. They've got a new guy in there who is, you know, he wants to get back to, you know, we're just doing news and we're going to balance some stuff out, blah, 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 blah. This is CNN. How's it look? Awful. How bad is it for Biden? Awful. Because human beings are human beings. And right now, we don't have confidence. We don't have belief. 4 months ago when stuff started going really moving, you know, like January, February, really started making that move. People said, well, you know, I'm not really worried for myself, but I'm worried for other people. Now people are like, I'm worried for myself.
Look at the disapproval rating Joe Biden has on inflation right now. It's over 70%. Carter was not even there at this point in mid-1978. When you're doing worse than Jimmy Carter's doing in the minds of Americans on inflation, you know that they're holding you responsible for the conditions that are currently on the ground that are hurting Americans in their pocketbooks.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. Yesterday, I spoke to Jim Rounds, who's an economist here in Arizona. We were chatting, and he said that this is something that is going to be here for more than a little bit. This is something that's going to be here for a while. And when I said a while, he said, look, from 2025 to 2030, we're probably going to see exponential growth in our nation. And it's going to be amazing. But we're resetting right now. Things got out of whack. We printed a ton of money. We went through unprecedented times with telling people not to work, then telling people to kind of work, then telling people, hey, don't work, but here's a bunch of free money. There needs to be a situation where we're going to have to take a knee for a while, right? Like a standing eight. And he said he predicts about 2.5 years of stagflation and some form of recession. He said we may do some bouncing. And I'm like, oh, my God. That's not fun, but that's the reality of it. And those numbers right there, those numbers are so ugly for Biden. Are so ugly. I mean, those are some serious, serious, ugly numbers. And heading into a midterm, you can spin it however you want. People don't have confidence in the economy. They don't have confidence in you. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. How could you say that, Chad? Just being honest, guys. Just being honest. You see what's going on in the world right now. You understand what's happening. I did ask him about the credit cards because I continue to think my issue that I see where there could be an issue with like a 2008 part deux is credit cards. People are, they've burned through their savings. They are now at a position where they're putting their electric bill on their credit cards. They're putting their grocery bill on their credit cards. They're putting their gas on their credit cards. They're going to start to extend themselves more and more. We're going to be carrying more and more debt. That is going to start happening very, very, very fast. And with rates going up, that gets more and more expensive.
if you have an interest rate that's already locked in, the rise in rates now doesn't truly affect you at the moment. But if you do have something like an adjustable rate mortgage, that certainly was impacted by today's move. Credit card interest rates move on a daily basis, so that too will be impacted. So this is going to be touching Americans' lives in a whole bunch of different ways, not only now at the grocery store and the gas station with high inflation, but now if you're going out into the market looking to borrow money, you're going to be spending more.
Yeah, we talked about yesterday where they say, so at the beginning of the year, the same house, right? Like if you, so a $450,000 house, if you qualified for that and you're like, oh my God, that this, as far as the payment goes, you now qualify for a house that's valued about $316,000. So you lost about $130,000, give or take, in spending power, size of home, etc. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. One place you're not going to lose is with Omaha Steaks. Why? Because Dad's Want Steaks package is going on right now. Dad still wants steaks because they love steaks, and it's the best thing to do for Dad. Father's Day is here, and guess what? They're not skimping. No, their prices aren't going up. In fact, $99, you're going to get 16 amazing entrees, 4 fillets wrapped in bacon, incredible jumbo franks, air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, sweet finish with little delicious caramel apple tartlets, and 8 free Omaha Steak burgers. It's incredible. 100% money back guarantee. You will love this. We've gone through all of ours. My kids went and got me a second one. You know, we got a first package and they went and got me a second one and we ate it up. And the barbecuing out back is awesome. Those are memories, and memories with Dad are important. Dad doesn't want another tie. Dad doesn't want, another a pair of socks. Dad wants steaks. And you're going to be able to enjoy it with him and make memories. Right now, go and get the Dad's Want Steaks package by going to omahasteaks.com, type Benson in the search bar, and order the Dad's Want Steaks package today. You're going to get eight of their new bigger Omaha Steak burgers absolutely free. It's the Dad's Want Steak package, 100% money back guarantee. omahasteaks.com, type Benson in the search bar, omahasteaks.com, Benson in the search bar. Chad Benson Show.
Set Chad straight. Text the show, 323-538-2423. That's 323-538-CHAD. Someone has to do it. Might as well be you. The Chad Benson Show.
A recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose yours. And recovery is when Jimmy Carter loses his.
Oh! Reagan, that guy had something going on, didn't he? He could, you know, we were just talking off the air. Yeah, great orators being able to capture an audience and a crowd, getting them, you know, you can look and you go back and you look and it isn't always perfect. I mean, Reagan was one of those ones, right? Kennedy. Obama can give a speech, man. That guy can give a speech. That guy could. This guy in the White House, that guy ain't doing that. We'll talk about that a little bit. He ain't delivering much when it comes to that. But it's important. In fact, I found this to be something I've always thought to be true. But it's more and more true than anything else. New premium on CEOs' communication skills. That's right. So a new Harvard Business Review analysis came out. So they come out with this thing about what's the thing that people want when it comes to CEOs. Like as far as companies, what are the values? The thing that's number one right now, social skills. Not like being able to go on social media. Being able to deal with stuff, because if you are running a company, or if you're dealing with one person, social skills are so important. Being able to put out fires, being able to delegate, being able to bring people together. It used to be called the soft skills. It's not. It's the wanted skills now. And you have to have, they say, look, you during quote unquote these soft skills, you have to have a high level of self-awareness, the ability to listen and communicate, the capacity to infer how others are thinking and feeling. Yeah, I think more so than at any other time in history, because feelings now have overridden actual facts in a lot of ways. It's no longer whether or not something's true or not. It's how do you feel about said whatever. And you're a part psychologist. You know, you can always go look at, like, other coaches had Michael Jordan and Kobe and stuff. They didn't win. Phil won because Phil came in and he could put a cast of characters together. And he wasn't so much a coach with the X's and O's. You know what he was? He was a psychologist when he needed to be. He was an ear when he needed to be. He was a taskmaster when he needed to be. He was all of the things at the moment that you needed him. He was a chameleon. But most importantly, he was an understander. He understood men in that position and how to get the best out of them by allowing them to be themselves, but also to be able to focus on a singular prize. We're here to win a championship. Dennis, if you want to go do wacky, crazy stuff and go be Dennis Rodman, go do it. Don't screw with the team chemistry. Michael, do whatever you want to do. Because that's you. Because I know your desire and hunger to win is what it's all about. These days it's more about managing people's feelings than it is their skills. And that's so true. They say at a time of high quit rates, leaders need to adapt and be adept, especially at communicating. You can't boss around like you used to be able to. You can't just do it. You can't. And many, many times in my life, I've loved the job that I did, hated the people I've worked for. Other times, I couldn't stand the job, but I loved the people I worked with and for, so I stayed there longer. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter, Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Fauci got the old COVID. He's like quadruple faxed. I can't believe I got COVID. I don't even know what to say. I think I need to wear more masks and stay indoors. That's what I need to do. Is anybody even talking about COVID? The excitement. We touched on it yesterday. The excitement that people had over on the news. Like, now parents can line up and get their kids who are just newly born shots. And they're like, nah. It's like, nobody's going to do it. Nobody is. Like, what is it? Under 18, like 18 to, was it 5 or whatever? I don't know. I don't even know who's getting shots where, but that is like less than 20%. You think 5 to 6 months old? Or is that what it's going to be? Like 6 months old, I think, is where this starts out. Up to 5 is what you can get now. Do you think anybody's running out to do that? I mean, you're going to find a few of those. You know who you are, right? You're wearing a mask still, and there's nobody around you, and you're in a park by yourself. I mean, do you think anybody's going to do that? No, they're not doing that. They're not. Because there's no reason to. That's why. There's no reason. But the fact that Fauci caught it was kind of it's a little bit, I can't believe I caught it. I'm not supposed to catch this. I made it up. I invented it. That's not very nice. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Oil, big oil companies were, oddly enough, like, weirdly threatened by the president?
We are calling on them to do the right thing, to be patriots here, and not to use the war as an excuse or as a reason to not put out a production, not do the capacity that is needed out there, so that the prices can come down.
Or whatever you said, Jean-Pierre. Was her name Karine? I don't even know her name. Damn name is. I screw it up every time. I want to give her the nickname. Is it Karine Jean-Pierre? See, I was right with Jean-Pierre. Is it Jean-Pierre or Jean-Pierre? It was Jean-Pierre. I'm going to go with KJP, who is not having the best time. CEO of Chevron comes out and says, hey, you know, they're never going to build another refinery in the U.S. What? Yeah, that's his take on what's going on. CEO Mike Wirth says, hey, I don't expect the U.S. ever to build another oil refinery ever again, pointing to decades of federal government policies as the reason why. There hasn't been a refinery built in this country since when? Anybody? Take a guess. 2006. 2000. The turn of the century? No. Since I was a child in the 70s. Yeah. It's not just about oil. You need the stuff to get the oil and refine it into gas. Capacity, he said, is added by debottlenecking existing units by investing in existing refineries, he went on to say. But what we've seen over the last 2 years are shutdowns. We've seen refineries close. We've seen units come down. We've seen refineries being repurposed to become biorefineries. And we live in a world where policy, the stated policy of the U.S. government, is to reduce demand for the products that refiners produce. That's it. So when oil prices are going up, that's just one aspect. It's not like they take oil out of the ground and just stick it in people's cars. It has to. And here's the other thing. We're never going away from fossil fuels. It will never happen. Oh, we may become less dependent upon it. But so much of the other things in life we use that don't power our cars come from fossil fuels. And by the way, a lot of the stuff that does power our cars, even if you don't use gas, also, fossil fuels. And here's something. I jumped on the morning show here locally a little while ago, and we were talking about this, and he goes, are you going to get on an airplane that is solar-powered? I'm like, probably not. He's going to have to fly for a very long time. He says, yeah, how about this? There isn't a plane that could take off with the amount of batteries they would need to get it off the ground for it to be electric. You're like, oh, God, yeah, forgot about that. So are we just going to stop flying? No, we're not. You know that. You know that, mate. We just don't stop flying. Speaking of flying, to drive or to fly?
Cases, it may actually be cheaper to fly than drive right now. Something to think about as you get ready for a summer trip. Now, this applies to road trips that are around 8 to 12 hours long. A round trip from Denver to Phoenix next weekend would cost you about $320 in gas. Meanwhile, the cheapest nonstop flight listed on Kayak that we found right now is $291, and that's only if you bought it about a week in advance. If it's a month in advance, it would be around $157.
Yeah. And, but again, you know, I guess you could Uber somewhere. It depends, right? If you're doing a staycation, like close to home, maybe you're flying from Southern California, Northern California, and go visit your family, way cheaper, right? If you're going from Phoenix to Denver, Denver to Phoenix, or, you know, to Utah, and it's a 1 hour flight, and you're taking off, you're flying there, and you're going to Uber, you're going to do a couple meetings, or you're going to see your family, you're not going to have to, rent a car, probably cheaper. Absolutely. And especially with where gas prices are going. But eventually that's going to change. That is like everything else. It's going to, first of all, demand is going to push prices higher. And the other thing is, too, there's just only so many pilots. Go and see how short pilots are. Like, if you're coming out of school today, high school, and you're going, what do I want to be? Engineering's good. Coding's amazing. Becoming a pilot, pretty damn good job.
As of right now, GasBuddy's expert doesn't see an end in sight for the rising costs that we're seeing at the pump. He says the things that would provide some relief just don't have simple solutions.
We're still out there driving. It's the summer. The jobs market is good. Unemployment is low. Americans are feeling really good. So I don't think that side of the equation is going to improve to bring prices down. You may find that a flight is much more efficient in terms of pricing and timing than driving a car. And that will probably be true for most of the summer.
So it's cheaper to fly, kids. Cheaper to fly. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. She's a bigger girl. So funny. So TikToker Remy Bader. She's a little upset because of she wanted to ride a horse.
So Remy Bader is a TikTok star. She's known for her realistic clothing hauls, which shows what clothing looks like on a plus-size body. Now, Remy was in the Hamptons on a trip, and while she was on this trip, they attended a ranch. And at the ranch, Remy says she was turned away from riding horses due to her weight. She said what happened is the owners laughed at her, made fun of her, and then later, a teenage employee calling her an expletive, a derogatory term for a plus-sized person.
Producer Phil, what's a derogatory term for a plus-sized person?
I don't know.
Like, you're fat? That's not an expletive, by the way. Because if it is, we're in trouble. You better hit that dump button. Is there? Is there a special word that is a cursed word that we do not yet know of that is for a plus size woman? Do I know that they made fun of this lady? I do not. Do TikTok stars and social media stars tend to embellish things? Yes, because it's good. Do I understand the owner saying no? No. No. So wait. What if they said, yeah, you know what? We do have a horse that you can ride, right? And so everybody else is getting on their horse. And around the corner comes a Clydesdale. Would you have felt offended? Well, that's not very nice. She wants to get on the pony. Pony's like, please, Jesus, no. No. You're making fun. No, I'm not. I'm being honest. Right? I mean, I'm being honest. Why is that fair? Now, again, I don't know. If they made fun of her, that's wrong. I'm going to go out and say this. I have heard that not everything on the internet is as it seems.
She released a statement saying she would never want to injure a horse or hurt a horse, and want to abide by the riding guidelines, but that people who are plus size shouldn't be discriminated against because of their bodies, and nor should they be called expletive.
Whatever expletive is, whatever that is. Whatever that is. There are, okay, so what did I just say? Clydesdale, right? So, there are 8 horse breeds for riders over 250 pounds. The average Clydesdale weighs between 1,600 and 180 pounds. They can carry 320 pounds. Now, that includes a rider at 280 pounds, about 40 pounds of gear. Okay? So, you've got Shires, which are massive, huge horses, same kind of thing. You got Frisians. You've got Irish Drought horses. You've got a Perchons and the Spottish Draft horse. So a Cleveland Bay, which is a giant horse. My family had a bunch of horses. You have other draft horses that are out. So unless you have a group of Clydesdales or Irish draft horses or something of that, or Frisians, then it's, you know, it's just the way that it come out that she's offended because this guy's like, look, I'm not trying. Well, how do you even approach that? Hey, I'm going to be honest. I know you're plus size and you're super proud of it. I'm proud of my animals, and I don't think it's best that you ride them. You're going to be offended. Now, if they came out and said, look, you are, no, I'd be more apt to let them ride on your back than, I don't even know how you approach that. But it also is a situation where, you know, somebody's offended because their lifestyle is they want to be body positive. Fine, great. Live your life. Do what you want to do. In saying that, you can't be offended if somebody doesn't want you to ride one of their animals because, well, you're bigger and it may hurt them. Or am I being a jerk or an expletive or whatever it is? I'm still trying to figure out what an expletive is for larger, fat, bigger, whatever it is. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show with your Twitter. Maybe she's fat. PHAT, pretty hot and tempting? Probably not. Jerk. Raycon, best earbuds around. Love my Raycons. You will love yours. Get yourself the everyday earbuds that rock. They rock. You can hear me in 3D Technicolor. Three different sound modes with Raycons. My favorite one, I've always talked about this over and over again with my everyday earbuds, is the awareness mode. So I can, like right now, I'm doing a ton of editing. I have isolation mode for that. I only want to isolate. I don't want to hear anything around me. I want to hyper-focus. When I'm out playing golf, when I'm working out, I like the awareness mode. So when I'm swinging, I can kind of hear the ball. I can hear a bit of nature, those kind of things. The best fits. I wear my all day long, and you guys have no idea how amazing it is, especially when you're editing sometimes 6, 8, 10, 12 hours a day over a weekend or night, to know that my ears don't hurt afterwards. Incredible. Half the price of any other earbuds out there. 49,000 five-star reviews. Now, why don't you see what the hype's all about? Get yourself some Raycons. Great way to kick off the summer. Buyraycon.com/Chad. 15% off your order right now. Buyraycon.com/Chad. Buyraycon.com/Chad saves you 15% right there. Chad Benson Show.
Check out our Chad Benson Show Facebook page where you can hang out or hang your grievances out to dry. This is Chad Benson.
Stranger Things is officially the most watched English language series on Netflix. The streamer says fans watched just over 781 million hours of the first half of the fourth and final season since its May 27th debut, knocking Bridgerton's second season into second place.
Pardon me, my lord.
The Korean import Squid Game remains Netflix's most watched series overall. The second half of Stranger Things Season 4 drops July 1st.
You can't stop this now. You can't stop this now.
How cool is that? Well, my voice, pretty cool. But in Squid Games, they got a go for Squid Games. They're doing a season 2. So, look, entertainment's still alive and well. It's, you know, when people say it's dead, it's movies. Movies are alive and well. Give people what they want to see, they'll go see it. Right? Isn't that kind of like, you know, that's the whole point of capitalism. So give somebody what they want, and they'll purchase it, they'll view it. And not everything should be theater worthy. But Maverick, you know, the dino movies, those are theater worthy. Other stuff, you know, it's television worthy. I'm happy to say I watched the first season of Stranger Things, but nostalgia can only carry me so far. And I got like 2 episodes in to the second season. I'm like, this is boring. And then I didn't watch any more than that. And everybody's like, oh, this is fun, though. This one's a little bit more monstery. And I watched none of the Squid Games. Mostly because if people tell me to watch something, you could almost be certain I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I also like to give stuff time to breathe. I just finished Vikings. which I like. So, and I've already watched the Valhalla show. So, I like to get that. Just breathe a little bit. Yeah, it is. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. The Italians are basically staying home. You know, the Russians are playing games with gas and the energy prices with Italy now as well. And so they're just deciding, you know, forget about it. Forget about it. I'm home. Forget about it. So you're going to be staying home. And I'm like, that's, I think if you're a CEO of a company or even what drives the nation, a small business, if you can hybrid your employees, if you can give your employees the opportunity to work from home, you lead the way. You know, I know a lot of people wanted to get them back in the office. And if you can do that, I think you're going to have happier people. But it's like giving them a raise without giving them a raise. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Check out all our social media. I try to participate, but then I get frustrated. You guys know why. Because of you! Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Happy, happy Thursday. A little Friday light going on here, kids and kittens. Sucks if you're living in a world where you've got to put tons of gas. Oh, wait, that's me. That's me every day. You guys know I live a decent amount. If you're new to the program, God bless you for paying attention. But I live a fair way away from the office. And the studios. In fact, 60, I am closer to Tucson than I am to Phoenix. So as I was joking about the Valley of the Dirt people, the reality is I'm closer to where I live is further away. Right? It's pretty cool. Because I'm out there. Nobody bugs us. You know, we have a nice little neighborhood, but nobody really bugs us. But I find myself putting in $30 every day, $25. And I'm like, my God. The thing about it, I get 25 miles to the gallon, and it's basically 3 gallons there and 3 gallons back. My God. My Lord. That is expensive. Yeah. It's almost like this is where some of my friends are at. And I think a lot of you guys are there too. You're now making decisions based on a lot of different things when it comes to what not only you're purchasing, but I have friends who are looking at the positions that they're in right now and they're thinking to themselves, you know, I don't know if I'm going to keep this job. I was talking to my friend the other day. She said she does a lot of voiceovers, but she has another gig. And she says it's no longer worth it to come in. When it was $2, you know, a gallon, that's one thing. But we're not there anymore. We're not. In fact, we're in a much different position. Let's just take a peek, shall we? CPI up almost 9%. Gas up almost 50%. Fuel oil up over 106%. Meat, poultry, fish up almost 15%. Milk up 15%. Eggs 32%. I don't know what's going on with the eggs. Coffee 15%. Used cars up through the roof. One of the big drivers of inflation. Real average hourly earnings. Well, those are up too. adjusted for inflation, you've actually taken a 3% on average pay cut. It's not going to get any better. And if you're this president, you have nothing. You are offering nothing to anybody. You are doing nothing that is getting people excited. The reality is you're facing a whooping come midterms. And a lot of people are looking at you saying you are a huge reason for this. This right here is Harry Enten. He used to work for 538, and he now works at CNN. And they were talking to him about inflation, and they asked him, hey, how's Biden's numbers?
Look at the disapproval rating Joe Biden has on inflation right now. It's over 70%. Carter was not even there at this point in mid-1978. When you're doing worse than Jimmy Carter's doing in the minds of Americans on inflation, you know that they're holding you responsible for the conditions that are currently on the ground that are hurting Americans in their pocketbooks.
Yeah. Well, who else would they hold? Well, you can blame big oil. Go ahead. I mean, it's easy. They've always been, big oil's always been evil. I mean, it's evil. Whatever. I'm not going to sit here and argue, you know, the merits of whether or not big oil is evil or bad. I mean, big pharma. Well, they're bad, too, except for the fact that they gave us the life-saving COVID stuff. And so they're amazing. And we don't care if they profit off the government and everybody else. It's like, yeah, my God, enough. Enough. Things are going up. It's ugly. And we could be looking at stagflation and recession combined. That's scurry.
I'd be very surprised if we didn't still have inflation at a meaningful rate a year from now. I think it's probably likely to come down from the 8%+ range that it's been at. But we're still going to have inflation for quite some time to come, and we're probably going to have a slowing economy. So there's going to be an element of what people call stagflation.
Yeah. And that is, somebody asked me, well, what is that? I said, well, imagine this, okay? You're running uphill right now into the wind, and in doing so, you are in sand. Oh, yeah. Uphill, in the wind, in sand. And that's kind of stagflation. We'll have high interest rates. We'll have people employed, but you're going to have a potential for some higher unemployment numbers, but we're not going to get movement. And see, this to me is something I think people need to understand. Movement matters, right? Because you're either going to hit a bottom and you'll have a chance to rebound, or you're going to go up. But when you're just in a holding pattern, that's to me far worse. If we're going to get it done, let's just get it over with. I'm not quite sure what this administration is going to do. I don't think they have an idea. I think they are as clueless as it gets. And I think that you're going to find over the next several weeks, desperation is going to continue to grow. And you're hearing it over and over again.
We are calling on them to do the right thing, to be patriots here, and not to use the war as an excuse or as a reason to not put out a production, not to do the capacity that is needed out there, so that the prices can come down.
KJP, the spokesperson for the White House, even if you go up to, by the way, refining's at 94% capacity right now. Some of those are offline in certain areas, but we haven't built a new refinery here since 1970. And the minute one of them breaks down or something happens, everybody wants them shut. So, and if you said today, hey, let's build a refinery. Okay, where? We're going to build it here. Everybody in that neighborhood is like, no, you're not. All right, we'll build it over here. This neighborhood's like, no, you're not. And then they're going, man, gas prices suck. Inflation's through the roof. We're not energy independent anymore. Okay, well we're gonna move it over here. No, that land is it's got a wee willy winky worm on it, and you can't do that there. Okay, then where? Well, we'd rather you not do that. But could you fix the high prices of oil and gas? Yes. Hold on a second. I'm gonna go and want you to turn your hand over. Okay, and turn your other hand over. Okay, now. Crap in one hand, wish in the other. Which one do you think is going to fill up faster? Oh, Chad. Yeah. Food banks. Here locally, we do a fundraiser. If you guys want to participate, you can text food to 411-923. It's a good thing. St. Mary's Food Bank was the first food bank in the world. Everybody's pretty much modeled after them, and it is incredible. What they do, and a vast majority of the people that they see are not homeless people or drug addicts. 95% of the people are people that are working one, maybe two jobs, but they're at a point in their life where things have gotten so expensive that they need help, and they're making decisions. And one of those decisions is a decision of sucking it up pride. Especially for men. Jerry Brown, who runs it, I was talking to him last week, and I said, do you find it's tougher for, he goes, for men? He goes, absolutely. He goes, you'll get more women coming through here that are married, but the men, it's tough. It is. I as a kid growing up, we had nothing at times. I've had government cheese that doesn't melt, by the way, no matter what you do to it. I don't know what... You know, is it the Kelvin? I don't know what you have to go on the Kelvin scale to get the thing to melt, but it never melts. I've been there. I've had popsicle for dinner. We've had one pop. I mean, like, I've been there with my family. My mom did everything she could. It's a tough thing. But I said, COVID or this, which has been harder on people? He goes, oh, no doubt. He goes, this has been the toughest time for people.
Spending time at this food bank, which literally just finished its last loading in of the trunk of a car. They did about 1,400 households worth of food. That's about 4,500 people who came through here needing to get that small amount of money off that week's grocery bill.
It's really bad when you can't eat. When your stomach is hungry, it's bad.
We're already spending like $300, $400 extra a month than what we used to before. And then, like, you look at the news and statistics saying that it's going to keep getting worse, and it's overwhelming. Like, how much worse is it going to get?
Well, it could get much worse. So you got to think about that today when you, because many of us, many of you listening, and myself included, blessed, but you've got a lot of people out there that are working their butts off and still now, because of inflation, are making decisions about how to pay for everyday average things. Like gas in the car is a luxury. That is not a good position to be in. And we need to start figuring out what we're going to do as a nation, how we're going to combat this. And this administration does not have the answers to the hard questions. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Rough Greens, ruffgreens.com/Chad. If you love your animals like I love my animals. My dog Doodle is happier and healthier than he's been since we've got him. We adopted him going on 5 years ago. We thought he was like 4 or 5. He turns out to be like 8 or 9 years old. He's still alive. He's happy. He's bouncy. He's healthy. His appetite's amazing. And I thank Dr. Dennis Black, a naturopathic doctor who put together Rough Greens, vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega-3, 6, 9, all this incredible stuff sprinkled on top of his food. I didn't change anything. They said, just sprinkle this on top of his food. He loves it, but the energy he has, the fact that he isn't sore anymore, and he can still get around and play with the younger dogs is awesome. Right now, Dr. Dennis Black wants you to try Rough Greens for free. Go to ruffgreens.com/Chad. When you do, you're going to get a free bag of Rough Greens. It's a free bag of Rough Greens for you. Okay? All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. Don't change anything with your dog's food. Just put Rough Greens on top. ruffgreens.com/Chad. ruffgreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
Being antisocial sucks. Hang with Chad's friends on Facebook, The Chad Benson Show. And if you just need some alone time, head on over to Twitter at Chad Benson Show. Either way, we can't wait to meet the real you.
Every day I play the What's Trending thing, and it bugs the crap out of this guy, and it's just, it's beautiful.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Now it's time to find out.
What's trending?
What's trending?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I mean something, right? Like it's trending on the old internet. What's trending?
All right, let's find out what's trending on the webs of the internet. We'll start in, you know what? Let's start in Twitter today, shall we? U.S. Open is trending right now. Big time. Little Thursday thoughts are trending as well. Oh, some January 6th stuff. Lots of U.S. Open, lots of golf stuff. One thing that's trending we might touch on a little bit later in detail is they believe they found ground zero for the Black Death, which I'm sure will be renamed any day now. That's not very nice, Chad. You know, it's, again, going back to the monkeypox thing, I just find that to be the most asinine thing ever. But who are we to judge? Oh, well, that's what we do for a living. We judge. No, we'll just give opinion. There's some judgment in there. U.S. Open, number one golf, number one thing trending right now today. And Google yesterday, mortgage rates through the roof. Stanley Cup, also up there. Barbie movie. So Ryan Gosling, the first picture of Ken. He's playing Ken in the Barbie movie. Because I know when you're an actor, you're thinking, God, if only I could play Ken in a Barbie movie. I'll have to say it is it's going to be interesting. The picture of him makes me think of the Aqua song, Barbie Girl. Margot Robbie is Barbie. But it's an interesting article. So Bratz for a period of time took over Barbie. Stretch Armstrong was a kid. Man, Stretch Armstrong was great. You guys, you know, they want to do a movie about Stretch big time. Strawberry Shortcake, remember that? Sin D. He-Man, all of these things. But Barbie's always been the dominant and continues to be so. But the first pictures are coming out of what that looks like, which is hilarious. Interest rates, obviously. Ford's recalling almost 3 million vehicles. Dr. Fauci is... Dr. Fauci has caught the COVID. I didn't think it was possible, seeing as I created it. John Hinckley is fully free. So tried to kill Reagan 41 years ago, and they're like, you know what? You're good. There was a person who, you know, we always talk about mental illness. And there's a difference between somebody who's losing the plot and people who have really no understanding. You know, Ed Gein, who was the, they call him, the Plains Killer. Every major horror monster from Hannibal Lecter to you know, Leatherface and everything, Psycho. All of those are all based in some way, shape, and form off this guy named Ed Gein. And they said to the day he died in his mental institution, he had no idea what he did was wrong. He could not tell the difference between right or wrong. He had no idea that it was wrong. They said he was an affable fellow. Right? Hinckley had lost the plot in such a way. It took 41 years. Still never got that date, though. 3-2-3-5-3-8-24-23. Man, if you could go back in time, you're like, dude, John. You're barking up the wrong tree. I'm just, wrong tree, brother. Wrong. No, just trust me. On this one. Just for once, trust me. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
I just spilled on myself. Not that you needed to know that, but know that. What the hell's going on here? Oh, you spilled on yourself. Jack, my son, he's out of school. Yesterday was his first day off. To go back in time, just for a moment, right? Because everybody's always like, everybody wants to grow up fast. But you go back in time. Was outside of your birthday, which, by the way, was the day before. So Jack had a double win. But outside of your birthday and Christmas, is there a better time than that last day of school when that bell rings and you know, I don't have to go to bed early tonight. I don't have any homework. I'm going to wake up tomorrow whenever I want. Like waking up and hearing like the birds chirping and somebody's mowing the lawn and people are passing by and you look up and you're like, oh my God, it's 10. Oh, that feeling. Such a good feeling. Like if you could harness that feeling, if you go, I want to harness it. Here it is. What do you think of apples that are those? Oh, you'd be. The amount of money that you could make from that. But instead, we have the exact opposite right now as adults. There is no feeling of fun and excitement. Instead, there's a feeling of dread and because, well, inflation.
Put this inflation in context. How bad is the surge in prices?
It's awful. I mean, it's awful. And how people feel about it is even worse. You know, you look at the consumer sentiment right now. And what do you see? This is the worst consumer sentiment ever measured by the University of Michigan, going all the way back since 1952. The second worst, 1980. The third worst, 1980. I don't have to remind you, inflation got Jimmy Carter. It killed that presidency.
Yeah, and this presidency is already a bit sideways. And speaking of Jimmy Carter.
A recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose yours. And recovery is when Jimmy Carter loses his.
Woo! Reagan with a singer. He singed him. Somebody should vote for that Reagan fellow. It's ugly. It's ugly. And this president has nothing. He doesn't have anything. And then there's the question. And this question is going to be answered. You could hear it now. The rumblings are getting louder. They're getting much, much, much louder. Especially as inflation continues to rise, there's a quieting sense of forebode, if you will, that is overtaking the Democrats, knowing full well that they're going to lose seats. It's not how many. It's not if. Because they know, yeah, it's happening. It's just by how much. But once you get past the midterms, you and I and everybody, but once you do that as a Democrat who's a muckety-muck in the actual party themselves, the voices that are going to come much quicker, much louder about, is he capable of said gig? Case in point, Don Lemon.
There's a report in the New York Times about what Democrats are saying, that there are whispers. And we know that as journalists, we know that there are whispers. We interview the president. We watch him in press conferences. We watch him do interviews he was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night. And quite frankly, I had trouble following him. His answers are not succinct. And I understand that he is an issue as a stutter as a child. I interviewed him several times. And he has trouble sometimes connecting, and his answers sometimes don't make sense.
But this has nothing to do with the stutter. This doesn't. He is all over the place. He's a hot mess. And they're having trouble running interference anymore. So if you're a Democrat, you just allow this to happen and maybe say to ourselves, look, the best thing that we can do is get through these midterms, see what happens, maybe thinking about a pivot, give Kamala the opportunity? Because here's the thing. If you go now and he says, I'm not running in 2024, right? Everybody's going to assume Kamala's the front runner. Aren't they? I mean, they could kind of feel that way. Like she's the front runner from the Democratic side. But there's just as many rumors and rumblings behind that. No, she also is not ready for prime time. She isn't. I mean, we know that. But the mental side of it, take away the political side for just a moment. I know everybody, take off your MAGA hats, take off your I'm a conservative or whatever it is. Just take that off. From a human side, it's a tough thing to watch. Now, do I think he's all gone? I do not. But do I think that when this is over, we're going to find out this was not a good situation for him to be in? And I do not want my president, no matter who he or she is, no matter what party they're on, to be embarrassed at all. Sorry. If that's what you're hoping for, wrong show. Wrong show.
As David Axelrod says, this is a person who, if they win, will be closer to 90 at the end of their second term than 80.
I think everybody is looking very closely now. When Biden does well, he does really well. That gun speech he gave, he was perfect. It was powerful. When he does badly, when he stumbles, you get nervous. And you wonder, is it just a stutter? Is he tired? Or something else there? And so I think that people are just looking. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of Democrats are like, if this guy's ready to go, we're behind him. But if he's not ready to go...
Remember, we played Reagan earlier. We found out many, many moons later that the last 2 years of Reagan's presidency were not very good. He had memory issues. He was in the beginning stages, was it dementia, Alzheimer's? He was much older. Well, guess what? Joe's older. Oh, you're being ageist. No, I'm being honest. Right? There's a difference. Bernie Sanders is what? He's older, right? About the same age, older. Bernie doesn't have any issues. Now, I don't like his politics, but I don't worry if he's got it all going on and he's there and he grasps certain things. For all the stuff about Donald Trump, that guy keeps going. Like, he's just going. He's nonstop. Doesn't sleep, moves around. I mean, you don't have to like his politics, but from a personal standpoint, you could say, if you put those three in a room, which one do you think is having issues, potentially, or early onset something? I don't think it'd be close who everybody would say, well, it's obviously that guy. Well, that guy right now is the guy. And he's tasked to trying to figure out how we're going to get ourselves out of this, because there is only so much we can do. We can cut back. We can do certain things, right? We can make certain choices. But a lot of this stuff, when it comes to energy and a bunch of other things, that is a situation that the government is going to have to battle with, how they go about addressing it. And I said this yesterday, and I continue to say this. If you're a Republican, do you really want them to go to Saudi Arabia and have them turn on the spigot and drop gas from 569 or wherever you are, $5 or $7 down to 250 or $3. You're probably, I want that. But I also don't want him embarrassed. And I don't want him to go there. And how do you approach the Saudis? You have to go in because people are asking questions. I mean, you've got the whole thing with the new LIV golf tournament that is going on right now. And people are asking questions. How could you do this? How can you go there? How can you go and talk to these people? Well, this is what you have to do in tough times. You have to make bad decisions because you don't really have a choice, because there's something bigger at this. And people have been asking, Biden even meet with the Saudi crown prince?
He will have a bilateral meeting with King Salman and King Salman's leadership team. And the crown prince is on that leadership team. So you can expect that he'll see the crown prince while he's there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you got to go in there, man, and you got to be strong, and you have to make it abundantly clear. Look, we sell you weapons. We're allies. What you did with Khashoggi, we're not going to, you're going to spin it whatever way you want. We're going to go with the evidence we have. That being said, you want our weapons. We need you to turn the spigot on. If you'd rather use somebody else's weapons, well then, not a lot we can do. That's the way you're going to be. I don't know. Is he capable of that? Because if he goes and he looks weak and then he comes back and nothing happens, that is not a good look for him politically at all. And like I said, I don't like a lot of his policies. I think a lot of this stuff is self-inflicted. He is still the president of the United States, which is my country, so he's my president, even though I didn't vote for him. I don't want him to fail. And I don't want him to be embarrassed. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Love hearing from all of you. I do. January 6th stuff. Was that? Did some more of that today? I'm thinking they are. It's hard to tell. You know, I mean it's like, what are we talking about today with January 6th and what's going on? I know there was Loudermilk from the Georgia. People are asking questions because he brought a couple people toured the day before the rally, and he gave them a tour at a time when there wasn't supposed to be tours because of COVID. And they went through a back way and they were taking pictures of stuff, and, you know, and he lied about some of that stuff and how much of that is like, did they really participate? And, you know, you get into a lot of this stuff. And then, of course, the Mike Pence thing, which is something that's being talked about a lot.
These never before seen photos of Pence and his family that were taken on January 6th provide a fascinating window on the pressure campaign that Pence was facing, a pressure campaign that ultimately led to threats against his life.
Yeah, which was ridiculous and awful on something he could do nothing about. He couldn't. And he could do nothing about it. It's what do you want him to do? Here's the thing, you know, I'm working with this company called, you know, it's an amazing organization called Presidential Election Project. And they are trying to get the whole thing changed the way that you go look at the Electoral College Act and you go back in 1887. So much of the stuff in there's. It's totally like, maybe it's vague. It's useless. It's nobody knows. Ambiguities everywhere. And their whole thing is they want to go in and say, look, Congress, guys, we've already got enough issues, right? 2020, you know, we've got arguing and fighting. Could the vice president, could Pence have done anything? Right. What about 2024? Could she do something? I mean, we don't want any of that. We want, like, hey, the vice president is here for one reason. It's ceremonial. They're there. That's what they're going to do. And that's what Presidential Election Project is doing. Right now, you can sign up for their updates. Check out all the great work they're doing. Their whole goal is to declare. They want to clearly define and clarify the actual role of the vice president. All right. And what exactly he or she is supposed to do. And that is to basically make sure that everybody knows and it's clear. This is ceremonial. States should do their jobs timely, decide election results. Congress should then respect them. Sign up for all the updates. Find out all the latest of what they're doing. Go to presidentialelectionproject.com, presidentialelectionproject.com. Chad Benson Show.
States? No. Deep doo-doo? Yeah. The Chad Benson Show.
Looking for a way to talk to your kids about being transgender, non-binary, or even cisgender? Check out my new video. You might feel like a boy. You might feel like a girl. You might feel like both boy and girl, or like neither. You might feel like your gender changes from day to day, or from year to year. You might feel that none of these words describe you perfectly. You might not be sure yet. Maybe you're still figuring it out. Your feelings about your gender are real. Listen to your heart. No matter what your gender identity is, you are okay exactly the way you are. It feels good to be yourself, doesn't it?
Listen to your heart. I don't even know what to say at that point in time. I mean, listen to my heart. Well, today I feel like this. Look, I get a lot of pushback. Oh, you're anti-trans. Actually, I'm completely not. Not. Not even close. What I'm anti is how there are a bunch of confused kids who are being taken advantage of and I think pressured in many ways to make decisions that they do not have the capacity to make that will affect them for the rest of their lives. That's the issue I have. And the powers that be who push this stuff, those issues are the things that bug me. Those issues should bug all of us. And people who are trans, and I'm not talking about people who did it on a whim. People who've been trans for years, people who do not regret their decision, people who work in the industry who are pushing back and saying, no, no, no. They're getting as much guff, if you will, and crap from these people who have agendas. They're not worried about your child. They're worried about keeping their movement, if you will, an agenda rolling forward. And it is a shame. It is. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Hey, you want to work out? You don't? Don't worry about it. We got a pill for that.
An anti-hunger pill could be on the horizon. Researchers from Stanford Medicine and Baylor University have identified a molecule that keeps people from getting hungry after working out. Yes, please. In experiments, the compound dramatically reduced food intake and obesity in mice. Study authors hope to turn it into a medication that may even replace the need to go to the gym.
Oh, wait, what? You don't have to go to the gym? Yeah, they've got one of those, too. It's also called, meth. Speed. That guy's really thin. You know he doesn't work out. He also doesn't eat. He lives on the street.
Wait, I know what you're saying. Why wouldn't you want to go to the gym and get the exercise benefits anyway? Well, let me tell you. They're trying to find out if there's a way to duplicate that with a pill. Regular exercise has been proven to help weight loss, regulate appetite, and improve the metabolic profile, especially for people who are overweight and obese. If we can understand the mechanism by which exercise triggers these benefits, then we are closer to helping many people improve their health.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to lose weight, it starts in the kitchen. If you want to get fit, it starts with working out. Put them together in a real way, you know. You drop some LPs. Just remember, calibrate, too. Also helps. That metabolic thing. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Feel free to tweet. You can text the program. Love hearing from all y'all. All y'all. And I just say, keep it nice, people. Just keep it. That's all we ask. Keep it nice. And when I give you the tweet number, I mean the text, it's a text line, not a phone. I'm going to remind you that, too. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts. Independent life. This is Chad Benson.
You know, we still have a war going on in the Ukraine. Oh my God, my voice is cracking. You think I'm going to come like, was it Bobby? Is that the one in the Brady Bunch? Where like his voice go like this? Back to what I was talking about. The war is still raging in Ukraine. Zelensky got a visitor or two or three today, which is good. And again, top of mind awareness. Because we have moved on. And it sounds, I mean, yesterday we told them, hey, we're giving you another $1 billion in aid. Here's the reality of it. Is anybody paying attention here in America right now? No, it's hard. You know, I mean, it's hard when you've got $6 gas and prices are through the roof and you're thinking to yourself, you were living, you know, okay, and now you're living closer to paycheck, or maybe you were living paycheck to paycheck, and now you are living paycheck to half a paycheck to oh my God, what am I going to do with myself?
Italy's Mario Draghi, Germany's Olaf Scholz, and France's Emmanuel Macron have arrived in Kiev on this symbolic trip to support Ukraine as it desperately struggles to resist Russian advances in the east of the country. The leaders visited Irpin, a town near Kiev that was one of the first to be attacked by Russia. Zelensky is expected to push to speed up arms deliveries from the west, which have been slow. Germany's Scholz is expected to hand over heavy weapons, long promised but not yet delivered. Ukraine is concerned the leaders will try to get it to accept a peace deal favorable to Russia, which now occupies 20% of Ukraine's territory.
Yeah, and they're pushing, pushing, pushing. Remember, they have the one thing that many weapons aren't going to be able to overcome because they just don't have that weapon, and that is manpower. They just don't have it. They don't. They don't have the amount of people they need right now. They just don't. And it's not going to change anytime soon. There isn't magically 20 more million Ukrainians that show up to fight. It's just, and that's the tough thing. And then the question is becoming, you do not want to tell Zelensky, dude, just give him that and just move on, because you're rewarding a person who's a tyrant and a horrible person. At the same time, if you're Zelensky, you have to understand part of this is going to be a situation where if I can't keep this in front of everybody and I can't keep them interested, eventually this thing could even go far worse than that. And where's that at? Part of the reason we're not paying attention is simple. We've got inflation. Inflation that is just through the roof. Inflation that is eating everybody's paycheck alive, that is eating their savings account, that is eating just, you name it, it's eating it. The one thing I wish that, shrinkage would happen would be with inflation. It is not. It's growing.
Talk to the average American who's, you know, having to take a lot of money out of their budget every month for just the necessities like groceries and gas. And they might actually say, we're in a recession right now. A lot of the time, we don't know we're in a recession until we're almost out of it.
Yeah. You're like, 2008, we knew what was happening, right? Like, overnight, everything changed. Overnight, building sites were empty. Overnight, people were unemployed. Overnight, it was... But I used to remind everybody, because I was on the air, I was working then. 90% of Americans still had their jobs. 90% of Americans were still working. But part of that is that confidence thing. And I continue to go back to the belief system when it comes to so many things, and the belief system when it comes to the economy. If you feel it's bad, if you feel that it's awful, you're less apt to spend money. And we're at a point now where we're feeling it and we're clutching a little bit tighter and we're seeing what's going on with, I mean, all of these things are pointing to, yes, we're heading there, but so much of that has to do with the fact that we now do not have confidence in the economy.
Put this inflation in context. How bad is the surge in prices?
It's awful. I mean, it's awful, and how people feel about it is even worse. You know, you look at the consumer sentiment right now, and what do you see? This is the worst consumer sentiment ever measured by the University of Michigan, going all the way back since 1952. The second worst, 1980. The third worst, 1980. I don't have to remind you, inflation got Jimmy Carter. It killed that presidency.
Yeah. It did. It absolutely did. Threatening now, very something eerily similar, is threatening to cap oil companies and this. And you're just sitting there going, man, are you not paying attention? Are you just not doing that? No, he's not. And it's going to get ugly. The fear I have is stagflation, right? Where we're not really moving forward. We're treading water. We're treading water. We're worried that there's a shark in front of us. But for whatever reason, we're not too worried it's going to eat us where we're at. So we're just going to kind of tread water. We may go up an inch or two, but we're not going to make a full just on sprint to get to land. And that's worse, I think, than a situation where you have a full-on recession. And we're in a bear market. What's a bear market? 20% from the highs. We're down 20% from the highs. Everything that Biden, quote unquote, got, remember when he's talking about all this stuff? Well, that's all gone. That's evaporated now. We're down 20% from the highs. This is only the seventh or eighth bear market since the Great Depression. But it also shows you that it will come back. It will rally. But this is ugly. This is bad. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. It's how do you deal with it? What's the best way to do that? Yesterday, they raised interest rates, which is going to really, for many of you out there who are now living on your credit cards, it's going to suck.
If you have an interest rate that's already locked in, the rise in rates now doesn't truly affect you at the moment. But if you do have something like an adjustable rate mortgage, that certainly was impacted by today's move. Credit card interest rates move on a daily basis, so that too will be impacted. So this is going to be touching Americans' lives in a whole bunch of different ways, not only now at the grocery store and the gas station with high inflation, but now if you're going out into the market looking to borrow money, you're going to be spending more.
Yeah. Spending more money. And that's the whole point of raising rates. The whole point of raising rates is to slow the economy down because it's getting out over its skis. And we're trying to bring everything back basically on par, like parity, where it's, you know, there's one buyer here. Well, there's a product for that buyer. Right now, we've got five buyers and maybe one product if we're lucky. And in some cases, no. So when there is something, it's driving up the price of everything. Plus, you've got the other side of stuff. It's a very weird economy on top of that because we've got this weird position of, for everybody who is frustrated and worried about what may happen, there are jobs.
What the Fed's trying to do here is achieve what they call a soft landing as opposed to a hard landing. They want to bring demand down just enough to have businesses pull back a little bit. As a result, you're probably going to see the unemployment rate rise.
Yeah. Yeah. And where you get that stagflation is if it gets too much, if we go too far the other way and we can't jumpstart the economy, which happens a lot, you'll have higher than normal unemployment. And then you'll have higher interest rates. And you couple those together. That's where you get the stagflation. And that's what people are worried about because you can lose years. Jim Rounds, who's an economic muckety muck out here in Phoenix, talked to him yesterday and he said the 2025 to 2030 is going to be one of those 5-year growth periods where everything is just going to be rocking. Might it happen earlier? Yeah. But from now until probably mid 2024, so 2 years, a bumpy ride and a good chance for some stagflation that could just be, you know, interest rates through the roof, people not buying. And we're seeing it. They've overbought in many places. So what was it in Wall Street Journal? I think it was Market Watch, one of those where if you want to buy patio furniture, you're going to get it at a deal like you couldn't believe starting in July. Loungewear, you know, electronics, things like that, that you're like, whoa, if you've got the means and you're not worried about it, the deals are going to be huge. Like the kind of deals were like, did you steal this out of a truck kind of deal? Yeah, because people now are tightening their belts. They overbought. So if you're looking for patio furniture, oddly enough, I am. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Eden Pure. If you're looking for a great deal on the best air purifier around where you don't have to buy a filter, over 250,000 been sold, and they're continuing to grow day in and day out, it is Eden Pure's OxyLeaf 2 Thunderstorm. It's incredible. It's the best air purifier. You don't have to buy filters. You plug it right in, and away it goes. And I'm talking about not masking the odors, but eliminating them. And it is awesome. Right now, you go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code CHAD and the number 3. CHAD3. You're going to save $200 on them. You're going to get a 3-pack. You can put them here anywhere you want in your house, and you will smell the difference in moments. And they are just the best. And again, none of buying air filters over and over again. Super quiet and amazing. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is CHAD3. Save $200 right there. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code CHAD3. Chad Benson Show.
Running with scissors sounds great compared to this.
Say what?
Here's the difference between the Clinton and the Biden administration. President Clinton appointed what one commentator called this week a bunch of high IQ stupid people. In other words, they were well-educated, but no common sense. President Biden has appointed whack jobs. I mean, it's like these people dropped acid in an outback parking lot. You can't reason with them. They are just so woke, and that's the difference, in my opinion, and why they haven't course-corrected.
I could listen to him chat all the time. He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. That, of course, is our buddy Jack Kennedy. Bunch of whack jobs. You know who you are. Bunch of whack jobs, guys. Bunch of whackety whack jobs. Yeah. Well, there's something to that. I mean, I think Biden's got big issues when it comes to interfighting as much as anything else and having his agenda, you know, the progressive thinks it's about them. And it's about the people. At the end of the day, it should be about the people. That should be the number one thing. And instead, it's about movements and just crazy stuff. And none of it makes any sense half the time. And you wonder, it's like, who are they talking to? if you're only surrounded by people in the same groupthink as you, right? So they don't believe anything else. Everybody's in lockstep with beliefs. You start to get this view that everybody feels this way. And the look on their faces when they don't is always, as they used to say in that commercial, priceless. Speaking of that, non-groupthink, always a hot topic, guns.
The latest Quinnipiac University poll conducted last week found that 51% of Texas voters think that stricter gun laws would help to reduce the number of mass shootings, while 47% do not. On specifics, nearly three-quarters of Texans support raising the minimum age for gun purchases to 21, but they're evenly split on the idea of a nationwide ban on the sale of assault weapons.
Yeah, but that's Texas. So when you're going there, I mean, that's an interesting thing, and that's why John Cornyn got involved so fast. So Kyrsten Sinema, who is, you know, a pain in the ass to the Democrats, even though she's a Democrat, and Joe Manchin, these are the two, right? That are the what you would consider almost independent / conservative Democrats. Kyrsten Sinema used to be left of AOC when she was a local representative here in Arizona. And now she's probably the most independent of all senators out there. And I will say that what we heard behind the scenes happened is she goes straight to Mitch McConnell. And she says, Mitch, I want to try to get something done on guns. Now, if this was probably any other senator outside of maybe, you know, a few that have been around a while, but he would have said, yeah, that's not happening. She went straight to him and she said, I want to get something done on guns. And he said, let's talk to John Cornyn. Stuff can get done. Now, will anything come of it? I mean, at the end of the day, that, you know, no matter what people think, people are more worried about not what a poll says, but they're more worried in this day and age about what people are saying on the internet. But it'll be very interesting to see if something does get done. But it also goes back to the thought of going and talking to somebody on the quote unquote other side of the aisle. It's just not being done. It's not being done enough. It's not being done at all. And I don't know how do you expect a business to function if nobody will work together? Should we expect that a government should function that way? If we could throw out the wacky ideas and the screaming and yelling, I think we can get a lot done. Reagan always said it best. Man, the stuff that we could get done if nobody cared who got the credit. But this is all about the credit. That's it. It's all about the credit. It's not about anything other than the credit. So I keep saying, do you think that the Republicans are really interested in him going to Saudi Arabia and potentially greasing the wheels to get them to open up the spigot and to drop gas prices potentially? Yeah, they want that, but they would rather them be the ones that do it. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Speaking of Saudi Arabia, Howard Stern said something about Phil Mickelson and golf, the LIV golf tour. That's the Saudi tour. Talk about that because the U.S. Open's on today, and you know I love of golf. But he said some stuff, and it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting debate. It's personal choices, and it's also money, man. And everybody's got a price. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Man, I tell you what, I'm excited. It's one of those days where I get excited a few times a year for sporting events. By the way, I'm just going to let you guys in on a little something. Starting right around Thanksgiving through basically to my birthday, I will be here, but kind of not here, if that makes sense, because the World Cup's going on. So I'll have several TVs running at the same time to watch the World Cup, even though it's in Qatar. And it's funny that we talk about that. And I'm saying I'm excited because the U.S. Open is going on today. We'll get that in a minute. But the World Cup is going to be played this year in Qatar. Qatar's human rights violations are a lot. People are asking questions. How did a nation like Qatar get the World Cup? We were actually in the running, and a lot of people thought we were going to get the World Cup. And we didn't. No. We did not. It went to Qatar. And then we found out later on that there was a lot of backroom dealings, handshakes, the whole nine yards. But this is a nation who has had more than a few issues when it comes to human rights violations, how they treat people. Now, they said during the World Cup, this is really interesting, essentially all of those laws that they have where, you know, the drinking, the debauchery, the stuff that goes on at World Cups, they're going to allow that for a month. And I will tell you this now, there are people that are going to the World Cup that will not be coming home in the allotted time that they thought they were going to have there. But I say this because of the controversy in golf, right? So the U.S. Open's going on today, and all of the live tour players, by and large, the 17 PGA Tour players and some of the ones who are on the European Tour as well, are playing in the U.S. Open today. And Howard Stern went and ripped Phil Mickelson, right? As you do, right? Because that's an easy thing to do, because he's an evil, bad person.
I'm not a golfer, as we know. I can't stand the whole thing. I think it's a huge waste of time. But I see here that the Saudi Arabian government that has endless money because they're sitting on oil, but these guys have so much money. So they started a golf league. You know what this reminds me? First of all, the Saudis are real pieces of You know, they killed this guy, Khashoggi. They got the women still running around with the robes and the covering the face and all that other horse.
It's very interesting. So he goes off on that, right? And look, we understand. We can all understand. What they do is not what we do. How they live their lives is not how we live ours. Their freedoms are impinged. Their women are treated as second-class citizens. We've talked about this ad nauseum. But it's funny the way that people go and attack everybody for making what in life is a business decision, right? And again, Saudi Arabia in our cup of tea. I've had many friends who've gone to Saudi Arabia. They've worked there. They said, look, the people are nice. It's a beautiful place. They leave, by and large, they leave the foreigners alone. It is... you don't mess about. All that being said, 18 of the 19 hijackers, where are they from? We can start going down this road all day. But when everybody's calling out the likes of Phil Mickelson and a lot of these other people, they made business decisions. The same people that are bitching, whining, and moaning about them, they've made business decisions in their lives as well. Many of these big companies who are griping, they do not care about the fact that places like China, where they do business and they kowtow to, treats their people horribly. Or many other places. Continue. Sorry, Howard.
Normally, if they didn't have oil there, you wouldn't hear from these guys. You'd never know what they believe. They'd be talking to a sheep and a camel. And now they want to start a golf tournament. And, you know, it reminds me of South Africa. You know, they had apartheid. It was a bad situation and the world was against it. But every once in a while, they would lure a famous celebrity over to Sun City to perform. They would offer millions of dollars and the performers would accept it. But then everyone started calling them out on it.
Yeah, I know Queen got really hammered. They went and during apartheid times and performed there. They said, look, we are coming to perform for the people. We don't want to get involved in politics. It's hard not to. Totally understandable. You're going to get involved in politics. But I continue to go back to this. It's a business decision. That's what it is. It is a business decision. All of us look and say what they did to Khashoggi, the way that they have ruled in the past, and hopefully it will change sometime in the future. I don't expect it to change tomorrow. But the reality is if we're going to be global, that means we're going to be dealing with a lot of people that we're not fans of. Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, Hollywood cannot really lecture anybody because you guys, I mean, go look at Disney. And we'll get to Disney in a minute. Go look at Disney and the thank you they did in the Mulan movie, essentially, to the region and the Bureau of Tourism in the area where they're keeping up to 3 million Uyghurs in, quote-unquote, a re-education summer camp. But it's a business decision. Could you turn down $250 million?
Like Phil Mickelson, who, I don't know, from a hole in the wall, they offered him $200 million. He had said originally, after Khashoggi was killed, they have a horrible human rights record. And after acknowledging that, Phil turned around and said, for $200 million, f*** it, I'm getting in bed with these guys.
Actually, that's not really what he said. And he doesn't condone it. I think we all know that. 9/11 families have been very critical of what's going on. It's just, I get very frustrated in stuff like this. And I don't care I don't care if it's sports or any of these things. It's people make decisions, right? They go places and they do things. And majority of these tournaments aren't going to be played. I think there's only one or two tournaments that are being played in Saudi Arabia. Could this be a situation where things like this, I think the whole thing is Qatar's hoping that, and the Middle East is hoping that, hey, we're going to have this big soccer tournament here. It's the biggest sporting event in the world. And by the way, when I mean the biggest sporting event, you take all of the Super Bowls and you take everything, you start combining them all, they pay in comparison to what's going to take place in this weird World Cup year. And I say it's weird because normally the World Cup would have kicked off like 2 days ago. But because it's Qatar, it's going to be 140 degrees or whatever it's going to be. They've moved it to a winter World Cup, which it is what it is. But what do they think? People are going to sit there and go, oh, man, it looks great. You know, being in Europe, a lot of people I know go over and they do tons of work over there in certain times of the year. When I was there, they go to the Middle East, and it's a lot of expats go there. They like the weather. All that being said, it's still a different world. It is. And I don't know if this is going to, quote unquote, fix anything, you know, opening up golf to the world, trying to get it more, you know, trying to modernize some of these things in throughout the Middle East or soccer. Because at the end of the day, and I've said this 1,000 times, one of my issues in watching the World Cup this year is the fact that many of these stadiums that are built have dead people underneath because they were used essentially as slave labor. You're promised big money. You come over there. You are working 14, 15, 16 hours a day, 6-7 days a week. And if you disappear or die or fall into a hole, they didn't care. They didn't.
I don't condone human rights violations at all. Nobody here does throughout the world. And I'm certainly aware of what has happened with Jamal Khashoggi, and I think it's terrible. I've also seen the good that the game of golf has done throughout history.
By the way, by terrible, we mean they took this guy and chopped him up. They lured him into a room and chopped the f-ing guy up.
Yeah, they did. They did a lot more than that, by the way. They embalmed him while he was alive. They did. They did. That being said, they made a choice, a business decision, as is our president. He is going to make a business decision as well.
He will have a bilateral meeting with King Salman and King Salman's leadership team, and the Crown Prince is on that leadership team. So you can expect that he'll see the Crown Prince while he's there.
Yeah, he's going to. Better come back with something. His fiance, Khashoggi, would like to know one thing.
Jamal Khashoggi's fiance, Hatice Jinnah, says President Biden has dishonored himself by meeting with the Saudi Arabian prince, she says, ordered Khashoggi's murder. Quote, if you have to put oil over principles and expediency over values, can you at least ask, where is Jamal's body and what happened to his killers? The president's spokesperson has insisted Mr. Biden has not abandoned his human rights stance.
Yeah, and he's doing this not because he wants to. He's doing this because, well, there's a necessity to it. In our country, there is. At this point in time, absolutely. And not just us, but globally. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from every single one of you. As we continue to say, is basically the best way to describe what's going on with our economy, inflation.
With Americans facing historic inflation and record high gas prices, the Federal Reserve increasing interest rates by 0.75%, the largest hike since 1994.
Yeah, and could get uglier. It could. Speaking to an economist yesterday here in the Valley, he expects it to be a situation where we are going to have a recession that is going to be plodding along, stagflation, and then by 2025, we're going to hit the go button, and for 5 years, we're going to have exponential growth. I don't know if that's to be true. I don't care about the 5 years at that point because I live in the now. Yeah, the 5 years would be great, but I live in the now. So if you're talking about a recession and stagflation that will last up to 3 years, that's a tough one. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Calibrate. You want to lose weight? Do it with Calibrate. Absolutely fantastic. FDA-approved medication that is amazing. You're also going to be working with Calibrate's great counselors. You're going to have an amazing app that you work with. You're going to have just incredible support with Calibrate. On top of that, the FDA-approved medication that you're going to get from a doctor via video visit and monitoring is going to help you reset your metabolism, and you're going to drop weight. It is amazing. On average, Calibrate's earliest members have lost well over 20% of their body weight, and they're continuing to lose weight. And the beauty of it is once your body resets with your metabolism, keeping the weight off with your lifestyle changes is going to be so much easier. It's the best way to lose weight. Fits into anybody's schedule. And right now, you can save on a one-year metabolic reset by going to joincalibrate.com and using code CHAD. That's joincalibrate.com. Use code CHAD. Joincalibrate.com. Use code CHAD. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show, where we reach across the aisle and occasionally poke someone in the eye.
Earlier this week, BTS, the biggest boy band on the planet, announced they were going on a, quote, hiatus after 9 years together to recharge and pursue individual projects. The Korean pop band's management quickly swooped in to counter the claim, blaming a bad translation, but the damage had been done. Wednesday, BTS's parent music company's share value plummeted 28% in the first hour of trading, a $1.7 billion drop in market value.
BTS! We were going through like the members you have to have to be in a boy band. You got to have the one that's going to be, you know, you're going to have the Christian one, the one that's going to have problems with drugs. You're going to have the one that is going to be the bad boy. You're going to have one that is going to be the gay one, right? And then you're going to have the one that's got a uber talent. That's kind of the way that one goes. And then you've got others, because BTS has like 400 members. It's like a choir. That's what they should be called. A choir. So are they going, bad translation, are they going to do other things? We're off to pursue other stuff. Spend more time with our family. You guys don't even have a family. You guys are all that you have. All that you have. We'll see. We'll see if they get back together. Could this be another end of one of the great boy bands that is actually the amount of money that they have brought in, the amount of because, and I tell everybody this, J-pop and K-pop, right? So Japanese pop and Korean pop. You're not in a group. You are just a cog in the wheel of a corporation. It's not a band. You're a corporation. Oh, that's weird. I know, right? That's crazy. You can't eat anything, right? Like, they measure you every day. They weigh you. They want you to be, you know, well, and them, they're very androgynous looking. It's kind of an odd thing. It is. Man, imagine not being able to, I don't know, eat the world's biggest chicken nugget.
To begin, we'll start by tossing 40 slices of white bread into a bowl.
It's our trick to get a juicy chicken nugget.
Between these 48 eggs and our 40 pounds of chicken, we're going to be using close to 60 whole chickens today.
To begin, we'll crack 40 eggs.
This has to be one of the more nasty-looking things we've ever made in the kitchen, Linja.
Oh, yes. And now it's seasoning time.
Now it's finally time to combine everything and make that giant nugget.
We're making a giant nugget. That's right. This this TikTok influencer group here, Nick DiGiovanni, and Linja Davis, or Linda Davis, they're creating the world's largest chicken nugget.
Which will hopefully cook the nugget through, and also faster, because in our testing it took 12 hours.
Open her up.
And finally, in we go.
Now for our final measurements.
20.975 kilograms.
Congratulations, you're officially amazing.
Now that we have the record, it's time to celebrate.
Yeah, my goodness. Largest chicken nugget. It's different, though, because this chicken nugget actually has chicken in it. Oh, Chad, that's not very nice. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from every single one of you. You can always follow along with all the fun stuff we do on the social media world. Social media is crazy. You know, I mean, it is. We've been talking about the insanity of social media and the influencers and all of the stuff that you see out there. And it's, yeah, think about this for a second. So here's two people who, if you'd have told them 10 years ago, hey, you guys are going to get famous on a thing called TikTok that's not invented, and you're going to have millions of views and followers, and you're going to quit your regular jobs, or, you know, you're going to, this is all you're going to do out of college or high school. And some of the stuff that you're going to do is, I don't know, make the world's largest chicken nugget. Like, people, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The what? The largest what? Chicken nugget. No, you guys are nuts. No such thing. I don't even, never even heard of this TikTok-y thing you guys are making up. But when you look at the younger generation, right? Like my son's generation. So he's Gen Z. 8 out of 10 kids his age want to be influencers. That's nuts. Like fireman, astronaut, all of those things. Yeah, I mean, people still want to be pro athletes and stuff, but the majority of the younger generation, millennials and Gen Z, they don't want those things. They want to be influencers. They do. That's it. Because they see it and they think, oh my God, I want to do all these things. I want to be an influencer. I want to do this. Oh, good luck. Good luck. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. You can tweet at us, text the program. Love hearing from every single one of you. I try to get back to as many people as possible. As I always like to say, keep it calm, keep it cool, keep it clean. That's all I ask. Shouldn't be this hard, but apparently I have to remind everybody every single day. Solid fun show again today. Oh, thank God. I see you Friday. As always, my good friends. Night, night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.